You know, I think many marriages would do much better if the husband and wife clearly understood that they are on the same team. You can resolve anything. Just say, but honey, no, we'll resolve this, but we're on the same team. Like the story of a wife and a husband, they're in the rowboat and they're fighting at each other. She was on the front of the rowboat, he's at the back, and they're just yelling at each other. All of a sudden, a leak springs up right under where the husband is sitting, and the wife says, good, I'm glad that leak is on your side and not mine. Folks, we're in the same rowboat.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was describing the different seasons of our life, whether you're a student, a young married person, a businessman, a mother, a grandfather, and how it's important for us to understand the role that God has given us in these various seasons. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Three Essentials of Right-Sizing Life.
Some of you might be a mom and you've got growing kids. Now, your season may be anywhere from 4 months to 14 years. It just sort of depends on the season's length. But for some of you, this is a season to invest in your children. Some of you men, it might be a season to invest in your employment or your marriage, or it'll move to your children, or it may move to relationships or organizing your life or the fractured health that you have, and not be just because of negligence. The Lord may say, I want you to focus on hygiene or health or fitness or exercise. Every season, there's a purpose under heaven. And God is saying, for you, brother, for you, sister, in this season of your life, this is what I, the Lord is saying, or heaven, is focusing on. And I want you to follow me. And in that vein, in that direction, I will have all the resources necessary for you to succeed. If you deviate from that, there'll be a drought. But if you will follow what I'm doing, don't say, God, bless what I'm doing. No, do what God is blessing. And you will find his blessings there. If you deviate, you'll find only drought. If you follow him, you'll find his blessings. What season are you in? You say, well, how do I know what God's working on? How do I know what the purpose of heaven is, as Ecclesiastes says? How do I know what he's working on? Real simple. The first is, the Bible says, ask. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So the first is to ask. But there's also an anointing, that's the word that the Bible has. There's an anointing that abides in you, which means the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. You're going to see it with your eyes. You're going to see maybe your marriage a bit fractured, or maybe some relationships at work just not right, or your heart is not as buoyant and as confident as it should be. And the Lord might say, this is a season that I'm going to be working on your faith. Your faith personally, your faith in the marketplace. Maybe I'm going to work on people skills. I'm going to work on resolving some of the things that you've been tolerating that's fractured at the workplace. I'm going to work with you so that you clean those things up. That's what I'm going to be doing. Because firstly, you must remember, you don't represent that company. God's going to say, you represent my kingdom. For some of you, God may say, this is a season that you're going to be with your kids. Emphasize your kids. Why? Because I am. And I want you to follow me. Now watch this. Here's the reason it's so important for you to understand this. If you're deviating, you think God's going to help you deviate more? No, he'll actually stand against you and push you back on. But if you're in his will and doing what he's asked you to do this season, because that's what he's doing, do you think he'll help you? Absolutely. Listen, an obstacle is what happens when you take your eyes off the goal. But when you're in his season and you know what his season is and you're cooperating with him, then there's going to be a speed bump, but it's not an obstacle because you come up against it and you know you're doing what God's wanting you to do, and you just look around and say, watch what God's about to do. Just watch. And that's when you start to see blessings and miracles, because God's power is going to be available to those who are walking in his will. To those who deviate, it's a drought. So I need to find out, God, what is your purpose? And about a month ago, I actually wrote some things down. I thought, this season, God is saying to make sure that I'm working on the organizational part of my life. because I sometimes just go in kind of creative ways, but I don't have it organized out. So organize your life. And then another part was fitness, to work on my fitness a little. And then another was to spend time with one of my children, to emphasize this season. It was my youngest daughter, Abby. Now, Abby's in Oregon. She's going to school. And I just needed to spend a little bit more time with her. So about a month ago, I wrote her name down. Now, Anna and I were going to go up to see Katie, our granddaughter. Her first birthday is this next month. Now, Abby's birthday was a couple weeks ago, so we didn't want to go then and then go again. It's just too expensive. So I said, no, we'll just go for Katie. And Abby's a big girl. She won't need us for her birthday. But after I had written that down, the Lord said, no, I asked you to emphasize this because I'm working on her life right now. And I want you to emphasize that. So I actually wrote her name in my calendar, and I went back to my wife and I said, honey, I know we're going to go again. It's a little expensive to go twice, but man, I just think we're supposed to go. So she said, well, whatever. I mean, she didn't go, whatever. And I was like, So we actually booked a flight and said, Abby, we're coming on up. And she had some other plans, but she said, okay, great. And so we meet her there. We have the birthday party with her, and it was great. But the next day, she had some friends with her, really wonderful friends, but they were going up to a mountain pass that's kind of up in the mountains and wet and cold up there. And the very next day, her car lost traction and spun around and on a mountain pass and smashed into some guardrails. Thank God for guardrails, because if it weren't there, the ravine would have been next. And the insurance said the car is totaled. And now this just happened. And so there's a lot of fear, a lot of tears. And so we were there to hold her, and Anna is, you know, she's crying on her mom. And, you know, I look back on it now and I think, you know, if I wouldn't have heard the season that we were in, we would not have been there for this that just took place. I thought how important it is to just hear God. What is the season I'm in, Lord? What are you emphasizing? Because I want to do the same. You understand how you start to right-size life, see things the way God's seeing it? Then all of His power and all of His strength is there, not to make us immune from the things, but to give us strength within them. She's fine. Nothing happened. You know, just a little crink in the neck. But I think, wow, isn't that amazing how God speaks about a season and you move with it, and then later you understand. Remember, faith is living in advance what you will only one day understand in reverse. Now, here's one of the things, just as an aside, because you say, okay, well, maybe this season is to work out some flaws and try to get some people skills in place because I've got some problems at work and I know God wants to fix that and I'm just kind of holding off. Well, is that the season you're in, to cooperate with Him and get it right? Yeah, but oh, it's so hard because, you know, that person said this or said that. Here, would you write in a bullet? This will really help you in your right-sizing life. Write down, travel light by keeping short accounts. Travel light by keeping short accounts. Can I encourage you, doesn't matter if you're getting old or not, have a real short memory when it comes to other people's sins. You know what happens? We usually have a super long memory when it comes to other people's sins and a real short one when it comes to our own. Isn't that right? It should be the other way around. We should make sure that we're repenting and with an act of contrition for our own sins, but with others, keep really short accounts. You know why? Because life is too short. And if you keep cutting off relationships, pretty soon you're going to live a lonely life because you've shelved everybody else out. And now you live lonely. And here's one of the things that the devil would love to get you to deceive you with, that you burn all these bridges. And even though you're around people a lot, you'll find yourself lonely. Mark my words, this will happen. And then you'll have stuff that goes on in your life that won't get healed really fast. Because as you've heard me say before, God says you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, which means there's some things of recovery that will only be possible, a dimension of health that's only possible within the sphere of relationships. When someone lays hands on you, which means in the midst of relationships, there's a dimension of healing that's only possible within that sphere. But if the devil can get you isolated from others because we burn bridges and we don't keep short accounts, there's a dimension of healing that you'll never be able to experience because it's only experienced within the sphere of relationships. You understand? He keeps you from experiencing God's wholeness that should be flowing through your life all the time. And that's why one of the most expensive gifts Jesus bought for us on the cross was forgiveness. Why? Because he knew that in the midst of that relationship, healing would happen. That's why he says, and if you'll read in the New Testament, listen, he says, by his stripes we were healed. Forgiveness was given on the cross through his stripes so that the Bible says, he says, walk in the light as he is in the light, so that you might have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. In other words, the blood that he shed keeps relationships close. Why? Because in the midst of that, we get healed. And there's only a certain dimension of healing that comes within the sphere of relationships. Cut that off and watch how long it takes you to heal from stuff. You get bitter, you get offended, and you hang on to it for a long time. So keep short accounts. One of the best things that you can do. In fact, let's read what it says here. Let's read 2 Timothy 1. Go. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. And Romans says, go. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Yeah. Let me give you the second life essential in helping you to right-size life. Not only know what season you're in and keep short accounts, but the second is, would you write down, monitor your inner conversation. Monitor your inner conversation. You see, on the inside of all of us, we have kind of this Muzak system. You know the background system that plays music in the malls and stuff? It's like you have your own Muzak system. It's like your inner conversation. And you can be your own worst critic. You can be your own worst enemy. I used to play with a basketball player. Every time he'd miss a basket, he'd just start swearing at himself. He said, you F this, you stupid this, you, and he just starts talking to himself. I thought, man, you don't need the devil. You are the devil. He just go at himself, man. He just, and he just gets so mad at himself. I thought, my goodness, you got to monitor your inner conversations. And that Muzak system is playing. And for a lot of us, we got the wrong song playing. We got songs that demean ourselves, like, it's my party and I can cry if I want to, cry if I want to. Change the song. What kind of fool am I? Change the song. Another one bites the dust. You've got an internal Muzak system. And you got to make sure that you're doing it right. Let's read what he says here. Go. Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, works righteousness, and here it is, speaks truth in his... Yeah, that's where you need to speak truth. Let's read the next one. Go. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. Yeah, is it easy to right-size things? No. It takes me a while. I argue with myself. I work it and work it. Say, no, I can't think of it that way. No, I'm not going to think of it that way. And I work it and work it and work it. Is that wrong? No, that's just how it is. In fact, let's read what it says here in 2 Corinthians. Go. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Here it is. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of... Yeah. He's saying you've got to destroy speculations. That word speculations is a Greek word logismos, which means where we get the word logic from. There's going to be times you're going to see something and you're going to think, well, logically, the guy's an idiot. Or logically, he hates me. Or logically, I hate him. Or logic, that's logic. But the Bible says you're going to have to destroy some things that sound real logical, but it's not according to Christ. You take it and you bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. You're going to have to work it out in your mind and don't accept what comes to you at face value. You work it and you work it and you reason and think, no, I'm not going to think about it that way. I'm going to think about it this way. And you're right sizing, little by little, you're right sizing a situation. Remember, because your future will be determined how you are perceiving what you are facing today. And you work it and work it and work it and work it. And he said, okay, that's it. That's it. And he says, I'm going to scatter those who are proud in their hearts. Remember, just because it's in your heart, it doesn't mean God can't hear it. When something bad happens and you just start, you can start cussing them out on the inside. Now nobody hears it. And the Lord says, whoa, what did you say? I didn't say nothing. All of heaven heard it though. You see, he hears what's in our hearts. So you've got to work it in your heart and work it and work it and monitor your inner thoughts. And it will help you to right-size life. And finally, would you write down number 3? And this is a real applicable one for me and us who are married and our families are in churches. Would you write down number 3? You got to know who's on your team. Know who's on your team. You know, I think marriages, many marriages would do much better if the husband and wife clearly understood that they are on the same team. You can resolve anything. Just say, but honey, no, we'll resolve this, but we're on the same team. Remember. Oh, okay, then. Okay, we'll resolve it. We're on the same team. Deal, deal. Like the story of a wife and a husband, they're in the rowboat and they're fighting at each other. She was on the front of the rowboat, he's at the back, and they're just yelling at each other. All of a sudden, a leak springs up right under where the husband is sitting, and the wife says, good, I'm glad that leak is on your side and not mine. Folks, we're in the same rowboat. And sometimes we forget about that. In this church, sometimes some people take joy in finding out all of the inconsistencies and idiosyncrasies of everybody else. And if I take them down and I feel better. No, we're on the same team. The leak is in our boat as well. Just don't realize that. You got to remember that we're on the same team. I mean, just turn to your neighbor and say, you're on my team. And then turn to the other person and say, and I'm on your team. We had that in the last service, and the wife turned and said, yeah, remember that, remember that. Listen to this story. It's funny, but it has a truth to it. The story is told how in outer space these two alien forms are communicating with one another. And the first alien says, the dominant life forms on Earth have developed satellite-based weapons. The second alien said, are they an emerging intelligence? The first alien said, I don't think so. They have them all aimed at themselves. And we do. I mean, it's not much intelligence there. We spend billions on satellite-based weapons, and they're all aimed at us. Duh. And that's on a global level. You say, well, how come they don't catch it? Well, let's just bring it back. Just bring it back to us first. Because we can't expect politicians and others to do what we are unwilling to do ourselves. How's about our families? How about this church with one another? When we realize that we're on the same team, you start right-sizing situations a little bit better. And then God says, now, as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. And you watch, all the wisdom and insight and strength and courage of heaven will be delivered to you, and you'll be someone who'll be able to resolve problems you never thought were able to be resolved. And then you'll understand why God says, with that kind of heart, nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus, please do so now. It'll be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. Everything that we talk about is unavailable outside of the person of Jesus Christ. It's not a religious thing. It comes through the person of Christ and your relationship with Him. If you've not begun that relationship, do it today. It'll be the best decision you'll ever have made. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and you say, you know, Wayne, I need forgiveness. I've not made a personal declaration of faith in Christ publicly ever before, but I wanted to go on heaven's record that today I said yes to His invitation to come and follow me. I want to go on record in heaven so that all of heaven knows that I have declared Jesus Christ to be my Lord and to be my Savior. If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I want to open my heart to Christ today. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to be my Savior. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand if you're saying yes? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you too. Yep, all right, okay. All right, okay. Yep, yep. The Lord sees those hands together. Yeah, okay, you too. Yeah, okay, good. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received the Lord outside, ushers will be there with yes packets, Y-E-S packets. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material, free for the asking. It'll help you in your first few steps with Christ. You say, you know, I'm a Christian, Wayne, but you know, I see things pretty badly sometimes, and I just make it as that's how it is. And it really does affect me and my future. I really want God to open the eyes of my heart. Lord, would you help me? If that's you, raise a hand and say, yeah, God, that's me. Please help me. Yeah, that's so connected to your faith. Develop that. Develop that. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say it out loud. I'll give you the words. You add the heart. Would you pray this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your eyes. I pray that you'll help me to see life the way you do. It may take some time, but I'll continue from glory to glory until I see things as you do. I open my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. May I walk with you. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me. I hear myself and the devil hears. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ. Welcome.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.
you have a great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Three Essentials of Right-Sizing Life by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.